The following is a presentation of Giant FM Sports.
Let's get him.
High school football.
It's going to be a touchdown! And that's hauled in! Oh, what a play!
Holy, he just got
trucked!
On Giant FM, he's sponsored by...
Sends one toward the end zone in a double coverage. And it is caught for a touchdown!
Major Health Partners, CGS Services, Harvester Financial, BP Doc Shop, Shelby County Drug Free Coalition, McKay Manor.
And this place is an insane asylum again.
Clark Orthodontics, Cating Equipment, Rush Shelby Energy, First Bank Shelbyville, Christian Electric, Penny Acres with Hoosier Realtors.
They run it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep them off the field tonight. Holy cow.
Heritage House, Edward Jones, Maximum Results, American Family Insurance, Shelby Materials.
Fades it into the right corner. One-handed grab. Did he catch it?
Oh, man.
High school football on Giant FM is also brought to you by Color Palette, Salmon Brothers, H&R Block, D&B Cabinets, Cagney's Pizza King, Mayor Tom DeMond, Shelbyville Paint, Flooring, and more, Olinger Insurance.
Fires to the end zone. Touchdown!
Now, high school football on Giant FM Sports.
A combined 18-2 on the field tonight. Butt Mendenhall Field in Fairland, where the fourth-ranked 2A Triton Central Tigers welcome in Knightstown for a semifinal meeting in Sectional 37. Good evening. Glad to have you along on the BP Doc Shop pregame report. BP Doc Shop, home of the best tenderloin in Shelbyville. It's cold, it's rainy, but it is on the turf here at Triton Central, where the Tigers, with only one loss on the year, that coming to number 2 Cecina, who they could see next week in a championship game, welcome in a Panthers football team from Knightstown on a 9-game win streak. My broadcast partner is Jason Parker, and by the numbers, we have some big playmakers, and we have a lot of wins between two teams vying for a championship berth.
Yeah, at this point of the season, second round of the sectional, you want to have the best teams on the field, and I think to this point we have that tonight. We have a field that's obviously in great shape on the turf here at Triton, so the field conditions won't impact the game with this weather that we have. It will be raining most of the night. The wind's not terrible. It has come up here and there, but for the most part, wind is down, so that's good for passing game, kicking game, things like that. But to have two 9-1 teams is what you want to have this time of year.
Tigers come off a 28-10 victory. That was on the road. They defeated Milan in a game that started out with fireworks. Milan scores on a fumble by Triton Central, a defensive touchdown. The Tigers counter immediately with a return on the ensuing kickoff, but then it settled into a defensive battle until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it really did. Milan couldn't have scripted a better start, being a big underdog as they were, but Triton settled in, got the big return by Borenstein. That was a big play in that game to get that thing back evened up. And then, like you said, after the next touchdown, it really settled down, became 14-10 before Triton could pull away late.
Keaton Kermode, 127 yards rushing. He caps it with a pair of fourth-quarter touchdowns.
Yeah, and that's what he does because of his size and ability. He wears that defense down over time, and in that fourth quarter you saw his strength able to continue to drive forward, and Milan's defense was spent, and Kermode was able to get two late touchdowns and put that game away.
We thought maybe last week two Tigers would be available. That did not seem to be the case in Richard Knowles III and Matt Gould. They can contribute offensively. We know Gould can contribute defensively. We should see them four snaps for the Tigers tonight.
Yeah, it's just good to have two senior guys back that have been that have played big minutes, played big plays in big games. It's just good to have those guys back. Whether they play an entire game, whether, you know, depends on how it goes. But just to have those guys back and available will be big tonight, because this game will be tougher, you would think, than last week when they didn't have them and they were okay without them playing Milan.
For the Panthers of Knightstown, 9-1, same record as Triton Central, and they haven't lost since the opener, 21-13 against very likely the best team on their schedule in Hagerstown. Mm-hmm. And maybe that should be addressed early. If Hagerstown is the best team on their schedule, strength of schedule favors Triton Central.
Yes, yeah. You're not going to look at Knightstown's schedule and be, I mean, 9-1 is good. 9 games in a row winning coming into tonight is always good. But the teams that they have beaten, Union County twice, you might look at the first Union County game, though, and it was 34-28, and then last week they beat Union County 40-0. So you might look at that and say, well, Knightstown's improving because they had a team where they barely got by them in September and then were able to blow them out and shut them out last week. So a young team here with Knightstown, but a veteran playmaker at quarterback, one that we'll talk, and Triton Central's going to have to watch tonight.
Chad Montgomery is the first-year coach at Knightstown, comes in, takes over the program. They are young, as Jason said, but there is a veteran at quarterback, although he is first-year at that particular position. Jose Olivo has over 3,000 combined yards from scrimmage, throwing and running the football, and if you throw it in his direction when he's on defense, he may score from there, too.
Yeah, you know, at that level, at the 2A level, if you've got a guy like Olivo, you're going to win some games. And a guy that averages 314 yards from scrimmage per game, 127 rushing, 186 passing, he can do both. He plays defense. He's scored a lot of touchdowns, 19 through the air, 16 on the ground. He's had a long run of 65 yards, so he's got big play capabilities. He's throwing for a high percentage, completion percentage. If he gets off tonight and plays that kind of a game, Triton Central could be in trouble.
Coming off last week, Olivo, 20 rushes, 176 yards. He completed 7 of 11 when he threw the football. Those are typical numbers for Jose Olivo. And we'll see him hand off the football to Nick Walsh, who has joined him rushing the football for better than 1,000 yards this year. Coming up, a look at the brackets. Who's playing who in this sectional semifinal round? You're on the BP Doc Shop pregame on Giant FM.
Kitchen the Good Life? A kitchen or entertaining area completely designed around your modern taste. D&B Cabinet Sales lets you make choices that reflect you and your direction in life with Homecrest Cabinet. Whether you're building or redecorating, Homecrest and D&B Cabinet Sales can help with over 300 affordable combinations. With Homecrest Cabinet and D&B Cabinet, you'll find everything you need to transform a house into a home. Visit D&B Cabinet Sales at 660 East Jackson Street in Shelbyville to explore the possibilities.
Local radio is high school football on Giant FM.
9-1 Triton Central, 9-1 Knightstown, our feature attraction tonight on 96.5 and on web at giant.fm. In the meantime, on our sister station, 106.3 FM, and available online, realradioonline.com. Greenfield Central, yes, winless on the year, but they go to Anderson to play an Anderson team with only 2 wins, and I wouldn't say they're the highest quality wins, a chance for both schools to move on in the postseason.
Yeah, both a chance for both schools to move on, for sure, but if you do move on, you're probably going to come up against New Pal again. But I think it'd be a good momentum builder for Greenfield Central to get that win. They've played better lately. And I know they're going to that game at Anderson tonight looking for that first win, and for them and that program, I hope they get it.
Coverage of that game beginning in about 15 minutes and the kick at 7 o'clock on 106.3 FM. And as Jason mentioned, New Pal is looming, the undefeated number one Dragons. They do have to go play number 7 Zionsville, 6-4 on the year. Zionsville, the 2-point upset in last year's sectional championship.
Well, that's probably very high up on New Pal's scouting report as far as remembering last year and losing that sectional championship game. Until they prove differently, I look for a blowout again tonight, New Pal. I don't think Zionsville at 6-4 will have anything for the Dragons. They move on. They'll be 11-0 after next week and moving on to a regional.
Let's talk about the other half of this 2A sectional 37. The winner of Knightstown and Triton Central will play the winner of 6-4 Heritage Christian and 9-1 Cecina. They play that at U Indy tonight.
Yeah, home game for Cecina at U Indy. They have played there before. Last time they played, 2015 sectional, Cecina wins 40-7. So look for Cecina to win tonight. hopefully Triton Central wins, setting up a rematch of a game played earlier that was won by Cecina. But I know Triton Central wants another shot at the Crusaders, and hopefully they'll get it next week.
And ultimately, the winner of Sectional 37 will play the winner of Sectional 38 in a regional. And the games featured there tonight include 5-5 Cascade at 7-3 North Putnam. And the feature attraction, 7th-ranked 9-1 Tipton, coming off its only loss against 4A West Lafayette last week. They travel to undefeated number 1 Western Boone.
Yeah, Western Boone, number 1, 10-0. Knocked out Tipton last year 21-14 in this same sectional semifinal round. So Tipton looking for a little bit of revenge, but they'll have a tough go of it at Western Boone. And Western Boone undefeated at 10-0.
Some other games of note in 1A. Sectional 46, a Triton opponent in conference play. 7th-ranked Lutheran playing at North Decatur. First time they've met since Lutheran won a sectional game between the two back in 2009. And the winner would play the winner of 15th-ranked Hagerstown. We've mentioned them. They played Knightstown back in the season opener. Hagerstown at 8-2, traveling down to play a one-win Edinburgh team. In 3A, sectional 29, it doesn't even really sound right.
Yeah.
Rushville at Chatard in football, they just don't go together well.
That's a long road trip, first of all, for Rushville to head all the way up to the, well, I guess that'd be the north side of Indianapolis to play Chatard. And number 3 Chatard probably moves on tonight. 5-4 Rushville. They've had a better season than they've had in the past, but going to be a tough one up there at Chatard tonight.
6A, sectional number 8. 2-7 Franklin Central all the way down to play a two-win Jeffersonville team, but the game of note is 5th-ranked 8-1 Columbus North at number 9, 6-3 Center Grove. Grove won by 6 in last year's sectional championship and ruptured the spleen of Trenton Kelly, Columbus North's quarterback. He missed most of the basketball season. Last week, he was 23 of 32, 398 passing yards. Maybe it's the year for Columbus North.
Yeah, they'll have an opportunity. Field conditions there will be fine with the turf at Center Grove, so hopefully he can get something going through the air. But, man, that's going to be tough at Center Grove. We'll see how it goes. 8-1 Columbus North.
Quick stop in 4A, sectional 21, Delta 7-3, hosting 5th-ranked and undefeated Marion. Marion beat Delta in last year's sectional, and Marion coming off a win over Pendleton last week.
Yeah, Marion, Delta, Mississinewa at Yorktown. Reed Neal, opportunity there to possibly upset Mississinewa. Sectional 22, really, Johnny, I'm looking forward to next week if Mount Vernon and Mooresville can meet in a sectional championship game. I like how Mount Vernon's been playing lately.
Marauders at Greenwood. Greenwood beat them last year. Greenwood down. Marauders seem to be on the way up, and Mooresville slot their position for next week. They play a one-win Richmond team tonight. Coming up on the BP Doc Shop pregame report a little bit later on, conversations with both of the head coaches in our game here. We'll hear from the Kermodes, both Hayden and Keaton. First memories of each other as brothers. Who can do the best, Tim Abel? We'll touch on all that with the brothers a little bit later on. But up next, conversation with the commissioner of the IHSAA, Bobby Cox. It's wet and it's cold. Second round playoff action between Triton Central and Knightstown kicks off at 7 o'clock here on Giant FM Sports.
Are you experiencing foot or ankle pain? Hi. I'm Dr. Brian Elliott. As a board-certified surgeon at MHP Foot and Ankle Surgery, I specialize in treating common and complex conditions of the foot and ankle, such as sports injuries, trauma, and multiple types of deformities. My goal is to get to know you as my patient so we can work together to obtain the best possible outcome. If you are experiencing foot or ankle pain, call my office today at 317-421-BONE to schedule an appointment.
MHP Foot and Ankle Surgery, moving healthcare forward in a major way.
It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, an exclusive weekly update from the IHSAA Commissioner himself, Bobby Cox. Now for the inside scoop on what's happening day to day with the IHSAA. Here's Coach Bob Lovell with Commissioner Bobby Cox.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. Our weekly conversation with the Commissioner of the IHSAA, Bobby Cox, is upon us. Commissioner, glad to have you with us as always. I think we've said this now for at least a month, but it is a big weekend for the IHSAA and its student athletes. We have cross-country state finals in Terre Haute, soccer finals at IUPUI, semi-states at four sites in volleyball, and sectional semifinals in football. So, again, another very, very busy weekend.
It is, Bob, and it's a great weekend to be a high school fan again. As you've mentioned, every weekend's a busy weekend for our association, from the time the tournaments begin all the way through the football state finals at Lucas Oil. But this weekend, soccer on 2 days, Friday evening and all day Saturday at IUPUI, and want to thank our friends at IUPUI for their hosting of that event. The state cross-country finals for boys and girls are at the Laverne Gibson cross-country course in Terre Haute, and what a tremendous venue for our young people to run at, site of the NCAA championships multiple years. Volleyball's ramping up. We're at the semi-state level, four sites around the state, great host at each of those high schools. And then 6A football kicks off this weekend. And after that bye week, we've got 32 sectionals playing, and we've got our 16 sectionals playing at 32. We've got a lot going on.
We do have a lot going on, and we've had a lot going on. Dare I say, I look at the calendar, and next week we'll be getting into November, and I think we all know what November means. So
yes.
We have, as busy as we are now, it is equally busy toward the end of November with boys, girls, basketball, and the state finals in football.
That is correct. And, you know, like I say, we have something going on every weekend. Next weekend we'll be in Muncie at Worthen Arena at Ball State University for the volleyball state championships. And sectional championships of football happen that weekend, too. So 48 different sites playing for a championship. Toughest tournament we've got. We've always said that. Our football tournament's one of the hardest tournaments to win because of the length of the time it is and the weather that can confront you and the different styles of teams you play against. It's a tough tournament to win.
Commissioner Bobby Cox joining us. We're talking about all things IHSAA. You mentioned the sectionals in football, and you're right. As we progress, weather becomes a factor. I continually am amazed each weekend on Indiana Sports Talk when I see the prolific scoring that seems to be going on around our state. Our coaches and kids are putting up a lot of points on Friday nights.
They really are, Bob, and I attribute that to a couple different things. You know, years ago, there were only very limited times that our football coaches could work with our football players in the summer. And now there is an ample opportunity for our kids to play 7-on-7, which is an offensive game. And I think because of that exposure and the more opportunity to practice passing routes and quarterbacks throwing the ball, that our offense has gotten better. They spread the field out. It becomes more difficult to defend. And I would say that our offense has surpassed our defense with respect to how the game's progressed in our state. And that's evident by the number of scores, the number of large scores that we have. I counted up a couple weeks ago of about 150 games that we had. There were 49 games where the winning team scored over 50 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of scoring.
Yeah, similarly, on the other end, there you can count on one hand the number of games where both teams have single digits in terms of scoring. So, you know, the extremes are really kind of stark. I don't know if this year's any different than any other year, but it just seems to be more noticeable now.
Well, and I think each year, as our student-athletes progress offensively in football, you see a little more scoring each year and a greater range between the schools. There are a lot of blowouts. And we're going to have conversations with the Indiana Football Coach Association about a mercy rule. Because when you see scores that are coming up here 84-12,
right,
77-0, those games are not helping anybody. They're not helping either school, and they're actually hurting the game of football. So if we're going to be good stewards of the game, we need to do some things to protect it, and that's one of the things that we're going to have a deep discussion about is a mercy rule. And don't know what that's going to look like yet. It'll be some kind of point threshold, mm-hmm. and it'll be moved to a running clock when that threshold is reached. But don't know exactly what that's going to be. We want to get the input of our football coaches But we need to do something to level these things out. And if we do have blowouts, we need to get the games over with for a variety of reasons. And one of them, notwithstanding, is injury.
Right.
We can't be putting young people out there that are being overmatched. And if you're down 70-0 at halftime, you're overmatched.
He's the commissioner of the IHSAA, Bobby Cox, our weekly conversation about all things IHSA sports related here in Indiana. Commissioner, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks so much. Have a great week.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
Koenig Equipment, 1929 East Main Street, Greenfield, your local John Deere dealer. But Koenig offers more than just John Deere. Koenig Equipment is also your local steel and Tartar Farm and Ranch equipment dealer. Steel is known for their chainsaws, but Steel also offers a great selection of trimmers, blowers, and lawnmowers. Tartar Farm and Ranch Equipment offers a wide variety of farm equipment. When it comes to agriculture, Koenig Equipment has the solution for you. Visit Koenig Equipment or call 317-462-5585.
Get the inside story weekday mornings with Giant FM Sports.
Giant FM Sports, second round of the postseason, gets Triton Central back home as they welcome Knightstown in tonight. And we're joined by Tigers head coach Tim Abel. Well, it wasn't fit for man or beast, but you played a good football game and you won on the road. You're still alive.
It's always a challenge when you have a week off of practice last week and bus ride down to another field and third field you've played on grass all year, and then it starts raining, the wind's blowing. So it's a little adversity we had to go through to play, and then we started off the game in a way that we have it all year long. So again, we had more adversity to overcome, and to our kids' credit, we bounced back and got the lead and never gave it up and finished the game well.
An unusual first quarter. You fumble the kickoff, but you retain possession, but then you give it up on the very next play. But then you tie the game on the ensuing kickoff. It was a wild start.
Yeah, it was a unique one, and so I didn't have really time to think too much about everything other than that we're right back in the lead. And when we got up 14-7, that was kind of nice. But again, they brought it back and got 14-10. And so at halftime, it's a time to – you know, get ready to play or go pack them up. And so our kids did a good job adjusting at halftime, we thought. And then we came out and exactly what we talked about, not letting them do, let the running back get going, and we did. And then after that series, though, we pretty much dominated second half after that. So, but we just can't have series like that. We can't have spurts in the game that we had in the first half because each week the stakes are higher and each week the teams are better.
Couldn't help but laugh a little bit. We saw you for a moment after the game as we were all trying to get out and head for home, and we were talking about the good ball that Eric Eboff can throw, and it kind of sounded like you wished he hadn't thrown it as well a couple of times. If you'd have just thrown it up in the air, you might have had a better chance to catch it.
Well, it's one of those learning things. We hadn't played a man-to-man team, and that means you're going to get the deep route, and we had several times where our kids were able to get behind them. And Eric likes to throw darts, and he threw it on the line instead of putting a little bit more trajectory on the ball and putting it up in the air a little bit. And I said, again, that's just part of the learning curve of a sophomore playing on Friday nights. The best way to learn is just do it. Thought he adjusted well in the second half until the rain came, and then we just decided we're just going to have to pound it. So it's a unique night. Again, adversity was we got the ball, we're in the rain. They get the ball, it quits raining. But again, you just have got to play through the conditions. We're on the same field. And you can't let little things like that bother you. You just got to keep plugging away one play at a time, learn from the last play, and get better on the next play.
You get a couple of important guys more available for this round, and we'll see Knowles and Gould get some touches coming up in this game.
No doubt about it. They're finally ready to rock and roll. And when you play on turf, when they have foot injury and ankle injury, it's scary on an old muddy field and cruddy field that was lumpy and actually was real hard because it hadn't rained all week. So it was kind of a scary thing for both of them, and they both kind of, we decided we'd just wait and see if we need them in the second half, kind of did it all, and we decided to go ahead and go without them, and to their kids' credit, they've been playing for 3 weeks without them and doing a good job.
You actually got a bit of a look at Knightstown, or at least a feel from them. Chad Montgomery takes over as coach over there, and this was back during All-Star game time.
Well, we just saw and talked to him a little bit and that kind of stuff. He was just telling me how young they were and how You know, they got start from ground zero, and he's done an outstanding job with them. They just mesh together really good with what he likes to do in their program. And so what an incredible job in the first year of being there, and hats off to him. And we know we got our hands full. You don't go 9-1 unless you're a really good team. And so we got a lot of work to get done this week. We can't make the mistakes we made last week and expect to continue on.
If you're going to prep for somebody like their quarterback and their best guy in the secondary, Jose Olivo, Aaron Steele would have been a good guy to mimic him. Aaron's not available. How do you prep for this Olivo?
Well, we faced athletic quarterbacks and we faced athletic running backs, and so we know how to adjust our defense to that kind of a game plan, and our coverage has gotten better each and every week. Obviously, we'd love to have Aaron Steele, but he's not going to be out there this year, and our kids have just done a good job. Getting Matt Gould back is going to help us, and both sides of the ball, but the biggest thing is you got to out-tackle them, and you got to out-block them, and you got to out-hustle them. If we do those things, good things are going to happen to us.
Nicetown's won 9 in a row, but the best team probably they played was in the opener, Hagerstown. That is the one they lost. Their schedule doesn't quite match what you do in the ICC.
Well, we don't get in too much about that. All we know is they find a way to win, and when a team is athletic, they're a real long team, very tall, 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", guys throughout their whole line of scrimmage, and they're a team, you know, that last year were not that successful, and so when they get going this year, you know they're going to be very good. So you're going to have to get on them early and stay on them because they are expecting to come in here and play well.
You get back home. That's always a positive, and I believe you could be home again next week, regardless of opponent.
Yes, that's nice to be in the bottom of the bracket. We got our road trip out of the way, and that's always exciting when we get to play at home. The kids really like playing in Tiger Stadium and our comfortable confines and great field and just a great atmosphere to come and great to play in front of our community.
Good luck in this one.
Thank you much.
Tim Abel with us. More to come as we count down toward kickoff here on the BP Doc Shop pregame on Giant FM Sports.
Since 1954, Harvester Financial Credit Union has been a trusted financial institution that offers a tailored approach to fit our members' needs. Our members are member owners, and because of this cooperative model, we're able to save our members money with low fees and competitive loan rates. Whether you need a loan to buy a car, consolidate debt, or advice on how to budget, we are here for your banking needs. We are located at 1220 Miller Avenue in Shelbyville. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is high school football on Giant FM.
Giant FM Sports, second week of the postseason. And tonight, Triton Central welcomes in Knightstown, a meeting of a pair of 9-1 football teams. And we're joined by the first-year head coach at Knightstown, Chad Montgomery. Coach, congratulations. 9-1 is good by any marker. It's been a very good season.
Yeah, we've enjoyed it so far. We've had a couple of good breaks. The kids have played great. We've had the opportunity to be in some close games and come out on the winning side of it. Done some nice job closing a few out. We've had a couple where we kind of led wire to wire. But the kids have had a good year. I think a little better than what some folks expected, but they've worked hard, and they're a good group of kids, and I'm glad to see the success they've had on the field and off the field.
Says a lot about a team that does have as much youth as you mentioned. I've had it mentioned to me by a couple of people. They go, I thought Knightstown would be good. I just didn't know it would happen this quickly.
Yeah, we've been fortunate. Jose Olivo's led us. He's leading the state in total yards. You know, really good athlete. When you have a quarterback, even the best quarterbacks, if they make bad decisions, become pretty average pretty quick. And Jose's made a lot of good decisions for us. He's protected the ball well. He's obviously a good athlete. So, you know, when the play breaks down on a pass, he can make something out of nothing sometimes. And so the reality is when you have a zone read kind of spread offense, if the quarterback makes the right decisions and he's got time to make those decisions, then good things happen. And that's really what's happened for most of the year. It took us a few games to get on the plus side of the turnover, giveaway, takeaway. But, you know, we're plus 15 or 16 now for the year. The defense has really dialed in the last few weeks. And so, you know, the good decision-making, the good defense, and it's been really fun to watch the last few weeks.
More on Jose Olivo, a guy who converts to quarterback and coach. He's scoring on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, you know what? He's a talented athlete. I think if he – he's a kid who wants to play baseball in college, pitched a no-hitter this summer, throws in the low 80s. Really, baseball's always been kind of his primary thing, but boy's got a nose for the ball on defense. He's leading the 2A in interceptions as well. And, you know, he's a center fielder in baseball. We've got him back there at free safety, so a lot of those skills translate for him. And again, he's an explosive kid. He's got a great first step, and that translates well once you get the ball in your hands on defense and he gets into that open space, kind of like the kickoff return or the punt return is for a guy that's got good open space moves. And then on offense, like I said, he makes the right decisions. The O-line has done a good job of running our scheme. We've got a quality, solid junior running back, and then we've got a really good receiver that, you know, it's hard to pick which one you're going to guard. And Jose's, like I said, made a lot of good decisions. And, you know, he understands his total yardage that he's got personally has really come as a group effort. And so I think that's encouraging as well. The kids kind of realize it's Jose's getting his name in the paper and getting in the end zone, but it took the other 10 guys to get him there.
Nick Walsh has over 1,000 yards rushing as well, and Kyler Burkett's in the ballpark of 1,000 yards receiving. That's an amazing That's an amazing triple threat on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, you know, it's again, Nick's kind of your prototype running back these days. He's a shorter kid. We've got a decent-sized offensive line, and so he's hard to find. You know, those 5'8", 5'6" kids these days, whether it's high school or college, you know, if they're good, strong runners, they make a good burst initially. Once they get to that second level and they make one cut, which is what Nick kind of is a one-cut kid, they're, like I said, they're hard to find. And when they get there, all of a sudden that burst gets them an extra few yards. And then he's got enough speed to break away from you in the open field. And Kyler's a lot of the same way. Kyler actually came to us as a running back who had a great hands. And I realized I had two good running backs on my hands, but one had a better set of hands and could run better routes. And so we put Kyler out at the slot. And he's been a great target for Jose. Our scheme kind of puts him in his position to make some plays. And, you know, he's done a nice job for us. And you're right, anytime you can have 1,000 at two different spots and then have a 3,000 calling your plays, it definitely makes us dangerous on offense.
When we get to this time of year and you start at least assuming, hey, these games are going to be close, we got good ball clubs that have won, that have advanced, I never, ever anymore disregard a good kicking game at this level, and you've got a good one in Drew Schetzel.
Yeah, so Devin's done a nice job for us. His brother kicked here for 4 years. He just broke his brother's single-season PAT mark the other night. You know, and we've only lined him up for one or two field goals all year. We haven't really needed him in the red zone, which has been great. I really don't know what our scoring efficiency is in the red zone. I haven't looked at it, but it's got to be very high. And he's a kid who in practice can consistently hit a 25 or 30-yard field goal. We've just never been in a situation to do it. But it is kind of funny. We line him up and we say, okay, if Devin hits this, done this twice now this year, if Devin hits this 42-yard field goal, there's no conditioning. And he may have missed a five prior to that, but he always hits that one. So he's a good kid, done a great job for us. He's really a full-time soccer kid who just comes out once a week and works on our special teams with us. And has had a good year and really been very consistent for us at the PAT. And like I said, I know at some point we're going to need him to kick us a field goal, but so far so good.
Tell me about Orcutt and Newby.
You know, Liam is a sophomore. Ben is a sophomore. Great kids, hard workers. Liam had a huge game back in the middle of the season, put him up in the lead for the state in sacks. Done a nice job, 100-tackle kid. Really a kid who can play defensive end, nose guard, middle linebacker. We can move him all around. He's kind of one of those tweeners, but has good size, good speed, and good strength. And then Ben Newby is a kid who played a little bit last year as a freshman, kind of some cleanup time, but is a big baseball kid. And so he's a kid who we had literally for four or five practices before the year started officially in August. And so it took him a game or two to actually get on the field. Smart kid. But now was a 100-tackle kid, and, you know, he's just everywhere and got a good nose for the ball, even had an interception and a fumble recovery last week. And so, you know, these two kids are sophomores. We're excited about what they're doing for us now, what they can do for us in the future. But, again, good noses for the ball, have a lot of room for improvement, but understand what we're trying to accomplish on defense and have done a really nice job for us this year.
Talk about the Triton Central team you face in this round.
you know, Coach Abel's got a great set of kids over there. I've known him for a lot of years, even back to his New Pal days. Even the East-West All-Star practice was out at Knightstown this year. So right as I got the job, he was out there working with those kids. And so he and I had a chance to kind of compare some notes. Never thought for a second we might see each other in the sectional, but got a great program. You know, I've known him, like I said, for a number of years, admired his, what he's done with his different teams over the years. And you know, obviously they've had a great year. Only the one misstep against the Sena, which is obviously not much of a misstep, but I know they're a little banged up, but at the end of the day, he's got a good program. He's got some big, strong kids. He's got some fast kids, and it clearly will be our best opponent that we've played all year, but I know we're ready for it, and I know they'll be ready for us. And coming over to Triton Central, being a former New Pal kid myself, is always a special feeling. So looking forward to being on their turf, which looks great on film. They'll be well coached. They'll be ready to play, and we'll have to play our best.
Going
to
be fun. Coach, appreciate your time. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Chad Montgomery with us, the head coach of the Panthers of Knightstown, as we continue here on the BP Doc Shop pregame on Giant FM Sports.
Heritage House of Shelbyville, your leading rehab to home long-term care and memory care community, will always be full of the friendly, caring faces that come guaranteed with our signature family-owned and operated reputation. Now our warm and inviting atmosphere comes with a brand new remodeled makeover. Heritage House is excited to announce we have doubled the size of our brand new memory care wing. Haven Court, come visit us at 2309 South Miller Street or call 317-398-9781 to tour our beautiful new memory care wing, Haven Court.
Local radio is high school football on Giant FM.
BP Doc Shop pregame from a cold and wet Mendenhall Field. Triton Central welcomes in Knightstown with a berth in next week's Sectional 37 championship game on the line. Two names you heard a lot last week, you'll hear them a lot again this week, are Hayden and Keaton Kermode. And it's not often we get a chance to talk with brothers. We've covered a lot of them. And they can be interesting when you put them together.
Yeah, I listened to this on my way down tonight, and I think the one thing that stood out to me is just how mature these kids are and how well-adjusted they are and how they get along. At the same time, very competitive between the two of them, but in a good way, a lot of the times, just pushing each other. Very, very good conversation you had with these two.
They'll play linebacker together tonight. We'll see them get touches on the offensive side of the ball as well. The first question for them, what's one of the earliest memories you have of the other?
I'm going to have to go with, I woke up in the middle of the night, I think I was 3 maybe. We shared a room at our house, and we had two beds right next to each other, and I just woke up in the middle of the night and Keaton's laying right next to me just cuddling with me. And it was one of the weirdest occurrences that I've ever been in my life. I was never expecting that. But he's just sitting right next to me in bed, wake up, and I had no idea what was going on. But yeah, I think that's the first one.
How about you, Keaton?
Well, it's probably when we put, it was my his first year of baseball and my second year of baseball. And we were on the same baseball team as Little League, and we played together. We both played pitcher's helper together, and from then on, we've always played sports together and just pretty much done everything together. So,
you guys are on the same teams a lot, different sports, different seasons, but are you competitive with each other? And forget about a sport. If you are competitive, what else might you be competitive in?
Competitive in life.
Yeah, it really comes down to that. I know you can ask Coach Abel, Coach Sprague. There's not one time in practice that I'm not yelling at Keaton for doing something wrong. I'm always on his butt, just playing inside backer and him outside backer right next to each other. I can definitely tell when he messes up, and I definitely let him know about it. But I mean, the best, every Sunday we go over to our grandparents' house and we'll play baseball in the backyard or whatever it is, and he's always trying to beat me. I'm always trying to beat him. We're always on different teams. It's always competitive, and one of us is getting mad once something's happening at the end. But it's
once somebody's winning or doing better than the other, the other one gets so mad. But that's just how we've been our whole lives, just pushing each other, always trying to get better at something.
I mean,
whether it's
we're competitive for the remote when we get home. So
who wants to watch certain TV or what?
It sounds like it's for the better for you two, though. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I know Keaton started playing football his eighth grade year, so that was his first year. So he's kind of – he started later, so it comes down to where I'm on his butt because I know that he needs it. He needs to be pushed harder. He needs everything like that. So I'm always – and I know him a lot better than everybody else. So I'm always – I know – what some coaches don't know, what other kids don't know, I know stuff about him, so I'm always pushing him in ways that I know he needs to be pushed. And, you know, my mom, she'll come home, were you hard on your brother today? I'm just like, he needs it. He needs to get yelled at a little bit.
Dancing gives you what, if anything, on the football field?
It gives me good balance, honestly. And I'm real limber, so there's some plays where
I think he tears his ACL. I think he breaks his leg. Something. Some I mean, somebody goes low, and I'm like, oh, no, and he just hops
if
right
I
back
If I didn't
home.
Dance, there would be some place where I'd probably break my leg or sprain my ankle, do something to my back, something like that. But I mean, it just keeping me flexible and limber and balanced and everything, especially at running back, it helps a lot.
Closest thing to what we would call a dance move that's happened in a football play this year. There's got to be something related to a spin move, something like that.
My thing that I think was had the green and white scrimmage, and he had some breakaway run on our JV team, and he's just high-stepping down the field. And that's, I mean, that just shows you his, I don't even know, it's him 100%, and he's just putting everything together, so.
Had a couple spin moves here and there, and then, like you said, at the beginning of the year, I'd never scored before. So when I scored my first touchdown, I was high-stepping the whole way back to the sideline. The first, like, five touchdowns I had, that's what my move was my go-to move. So
I just, like a lot of people do when they're getting ready to have a conversation like this, you'll go ahead and you'll just Google a name and see what you get. But one of the first things that comes up before your high school stuff, before huddle, is Hayden running the football in middle school. Take me back to middle school days, and what do you remember about playing back then when maybe there wasn't as much, I don't know, on the line as there is now?
Well, my seventh grade year, not everybody had fully grown into their bodies. Not everybody had done everything that, you know, where they're at right now. And my eighth grade year was... We all started kind of hitting the weight room together. We got Eric Keboff, he's our move-in quarterback. We got Jackson Miller moved in, he's playing guard for us. So, you know, we were getting ready. We were to that stage, and I just remember my grade, we're all really close together, and I just remember having fun at practices. And you can tell the difference between a middle school practice and a high school practice. Mm-hmm. Everything is structured. And in middle school, we would just go out and whatever we need to work on, we worked on. But in high school, you know, you're working on every part of the game all the time. Coming into my freshman year was probably the hardest transition I'd ever made because I was coming in my freshman year expecting, oh, I'm going to play middle linebacker. I'm going to play linebacker with Mason Durrett. And I get here over the summer playing linebacker, everything. And then getting close to the season, we had some kids go down with injuries. And so I got moved to D-line, which is somewhere I've never played before. And you just realize when you get into high school, whatever shoes, whatever spot you can fill, you got to be ready to do it because at some point with how hard the high school game is, somebody's going to go down with an injury. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to be sick at some point. Something's going to happen. You just got to be ready to step up. And luckily, Coach Abel gave me that opportunity to step up my freshman year and play some D-line, which I enjoyed a lot. So,
best or favorite, and I know he's in the room next door, Tim Abel phrase or mannerism?
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
There's a couple I have. My freshman year when we beat Cardinal Ritter at home for homecoming, the song by DJ Khaled, All I Do Is Win, was on. And, you know, everybody's circled together, we're all dancing. And then you look to your left and you see Coach Abel, and everybody just stops. And everybody circles up, and he just comes in the middle, and he just starts dancing. Everybody was going crazy. It was the best thing ever.
Awesome.
But he says rookies a lot. He says lifetime's a long time to regret. Yeah.
Too soon, it'll be too late.
But he's just all-around good guy. He likes to joke around, but when it comes to business, you can tell it's
all about
time to do your job and time to tighten up everything and go to work.
Well, let's get to business. I'll split you up. If one of you give me offense, one of you give me defense, give me a scouting report on the opponent, Knightstown, coming in this week.
Starting with offense, Knightstown likes to run a couple different defense. They'll run a either 3-4, 4-3, or a 5-3. Depends on which offense they're facing. And right now we've been practicing all those in practice. We've faced different fronts, different coverages, and we've been working on which plays are going to work against this, which plays are going to work against that, and I think we've got the gist down. I think we've got all of our plays down. Still running bread and butter. Yeah. It's our go-to. But I think our offense is going to do good. They're going to come out tough. Knightstown is their defense. Every game they play, every game they come to, they play hard. They come out hard. So I think we just got to be mentally focused, mentally ready, and just be ready to pound the ball, throw the ball, do whatever we have to do to win this game.
Defensively, they run more of a spread type offense. Their quarterback, he's a senior. He can run. He's a quick guy. He's a playmaker, and you know that's something that we're definitely gonna have to try to shut down. He's definitely somebody that you can't. He's hard to tackle on open field. So our D linemen got to do their jobs of not opening up rush lanes and you know making him throw the ball to where our DBs can make plays. You know, if we do get him in the backfield, just to kind of not try to make that big one-on-one play, but to, you know, make a game tackle and just bring everybody in. And I think that's where we're going to make our difference. They have a running back. He's a junior running back. He can run. He's a quick guy. But just as long, I think if we keep our outside leverage and make him cut back into our big boys, I think we'll be perfectly fine. Just shut down everything and do everything that we've been doing all year.
Hayden and Keaton Kermode of the Triton Central Tigers with us here on the BP Doc Shop pregame. Coming up very close to kickoff, time to start getting a little more specific on some of the details. A couple of 9-1 teams looking for win number 10 and to prolong their season tonight. We'll talk Panthers and Tigers next on Giant FM.
To win in sports, you must focus on your strategy as the game changes. The same is true of investments. Your local financial advisor can help. Contact Edward Jones Financial Advisors Ben Purvis, Beth Case, David Ferris, Tom Bennett, or Chris Beckert in Shelbyville, Indiana. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Get the inside story weekday mornings with Giant FM Sports.
Giant FM Sports High School Football being brought to you by Larkey Insurance, proudly representing Auto Owners Insurance. Todd and Craig Larkey, your winning combination for all of Shelby County. Auto Owners Insurance, safe, sound, secure. 9-1 Knightstown here at 9-1 Triton Central. Triton Central 6-0 over the last 30 years. Many of those have been postseason meetings between those two schools. And for the Tigers, one note we touched on, you're never sure exactly how it comes into play on a given night, but Triton Central's 9-1 is a little bit more impressive than Knightstown's 9-1.
Yeah, strength of schedule definitely plays into who goes into a game favorite, where you're ranked in the Sagarin rankings, and definitely Triton Central, 9-1, a little bit more impressive than Knightstown's, although Knightstown comes in on a 9-game winning streak, and for this team this year, I think Knightstown's very happy to be 9-1, and maybe a little bit surprised that they're a year early, but with the senior quarterback that's played as well as he has, Knightstown might want to take advantage of the opportunity that's in front of them, and that's here tonight.
Eric Eboff will get a third consecutive start at quarterback following the injury to Aaron Steele in Week 8 for Triton Central. Last week, half a dozen completions, and we saw he can throw a good ball on the line. It was kind of funny talking with Coach Abel after the game. He said, I kind of wish he'd just thrown a couple straight up in the air. We'd had a better chance to go get him.
Yeah, he had some guys that were able to get behind their defenders downfield, and he just wasn't able to put enough air under the ball for them to run into it. He overshot two guys that were open. The rain is a factor tonight, but the wind doesn't seem to be consistently. So if Heboff can get the ball under control in his hands and get a good feel for it, the passing game should be in play tonight, I think.
Keaton Kermode, 127 yards last week, a pair of touchdowns. He's at 776 for the season, but he at least gets some help in the backfield. Richard Knowles III went for better than 600 yards this year. He's been nicked up for a while, but he should play in the backfield tonight.
Well, that'll be big because Kermode's so called upon defensively. And a night like tonight, to have another guy running the ball, taking some hits away from Kermode, that'll come into play in the second half. And if Knowles can play and play a lot tonight, that's only going to help Triton.
Senior Matt Gould is the leading pass catcher, 16 catches on the season for Triton Central. Mm-hmm. But it may be his work in the secondary defensively that is key for him playing tonight.
Yeah, especially with Aaron Steele on the sideline. Gould, a senior, a lot of experience. Having him back in the secondary will be big because we talked earlier, Jose Olivo not afraid to put the ball up, and you look for him to try to test the Triton Central secondary tonight. But with Gould back there, they're in much better shape than without him.
This running back turned quarterback, Jose Olivo, the senior for Knightstown, again, better than 3,000 yards from scrimmage. You have a tall task in front of you if you are Triton Central. You can't bite too heavily if you're the guys in the secondary if he rolls out expecting the run. If you're the defensive line, you've got to contain somewhat, or he's going to, if not throw, then run for big yardage.
Yeah, as a defense, you almost have to put a spy on him to watch him because he is so electric and able to get outside the pocket and run. So Olivo, just a real double threat guy, 314 yards per game, 127 rushing, 186 through the air. So Olivo could take Knightstown all the way tonight. Triton Central's got to keep him contained from the start.
I guess after all these years, maybe I shouldn't be surprised when we end up with these all these kind of odd connections between games we're covering or coaches. For instance, native of Hancock County, Chad Montgomery, his first season at Knightstown. He's an Anderson University graduate. Tonight, Anderson is being coached by Ron Qualls, who is an Anderson native and Anderson graduate and former coach at Anderson, who led Heritage Christian, who plays in the other half of the 2A sectional 37 tonight against Cecina. So there's always ways to draw these lines with these coaches and the moves they've made both professionally and leading teams all across the state.
Yeah, Chad Montgomery, a guy that's been around high school football for a while, assistant coaching stops at New Pal and Pendleton Heights, so he's got experience first year as a head coach. But Chad Montgomery definitely knows the way around on the sideline.
Third all-time postseason meeting between the schools. Triton won in this sectional meeting a year ago, 21-0. They won a sectional quarterfinal back in 07 as well by a wide margin that year, 60-20. It was noted by Coach Montgomery, the last time there were winning streaks of this nature, Don Willard was the head coach, and Knightstown played for the state championship.
Well, Knightstown also played in 1A back then. They haven't been a 2A program for very long, but Knightstown definitely a program on the rise, and look for big things. Win or lose tonight, this is a program moving in the right direction and should be strong for many years to come.
Let's go and take a look at our key matchups. They're brought to you by Maximum Results, Dream Homes Found Here. Give me some difference makers, Tigers and Panthers.
Well, I think for Knightstown, Jose Olivo, we've talked about him all night. If he plays well and he puts up the numbers that he's putting up all year, Knightstown's going to be right there towards the end of the game. I think Triton Central, the Kermode brothers are going to be a big factor, as they always are. Can they get the running game going? I don't think the passing game will play too big of a factor for Triton tonight. It'll be the running game, and can Keaton and Hayden and Richard Knowles, if they can run like they have all year, look for them to move on tonight.
Josh Mullen, 5'11", 250 at left tackle. Seth Graham, 5'11", 200 at left guard. At right guard, 5'8", 175 is Jonathan Riggins. Jackson Miller in the middle of that offensive line at 5'11", 240. Then you got Kenny Gibson at 6'1", 225 at right tackle. Those are the guys in front of Knowles and Kermode opening up holes for this Triton Central offense.
Yeah, and it's going to be a big night in the trenches. Anytime you've got weather involved, the team that can open up the most holes will have success, and look for Triton to get that started early and often tonight.
Triton in the home green jerseys, white pants, white helmets, and green trim. Knightstown, primarily white jerseys, but across the shoulders and down the sleeves in black with black pants in red trim.
We've talked about Knightstown's offense. They've got some playmakers on defense, too. A couple names you'll be hearing tonight: junior James Lukens, Liam Orcutt, only a sophomore, 14 sacks, 18 tackles for loss. So Orcutt, a guy that's going to try to get into that backfield. And another guy you'll hear a lot tonight, Max Muncy, a junior, 4 sacks, 4 caused fumbles, and 3 fumble recoveries, not to mention 10 tackles for loss. So a defense that's very aggressive and can get to the quarterback. At least they have all this year. We'll see if they can continue that tonight.
Well, and you've heard us say Olivo on offense so often. How about the defensive numbers?
Yeah.
8 picks, 2 of them for touchdowns, 2 fumble recoveries. He scored on both of those. Couple of fumbles caused as well. Who does he remind you of? Maybe Aaron Steele, who unfortunately we can't see play today.
Absolutely, a guy that does it on both sides. And another stat that jumped out to me, 6 players on this Knightstown defense with at least 3 sacks. So they've got guys that can get to the quarterback. Triton Central's offensive line will have to keep them in check tonight.
Triton Central will receive our Shelby Materials kickoff to get this game underway. Bo Borenstein back deep to receive. Keaton Kermode will join him around the 10-yard line. And Knightstown has a solid kicking game led by Devin Schetzel. He's a 5'11", 150-pound senior. He's been able to score, and he'll kick off as we get underway here in this semifinal. A bounce on the turf and into the hands of Borenstein, who finds a hold of the 40. Around a man on the ground at the 45 to midfield, and he'll step out of bounds there. At the 50, great offensive start for Triton Central.
Yeah, and good block upfield by Hayden Kermode to get Borenstein another 5 or 6 yards on that run.
Tigers led by Eric Heboff. The young quarterback takes over with that injury to Aaron Steele. This will be his 3rd start. Came in during week 8 following the injury.
Good field position here to start.
Heboff from... back in shotgun, 2 running backs off his right shoulder. Borenstein, a wide receiver in motion, and Triton will run the sweep with Borenstein. Off a spin move, keeps the feet moving, and looks like they'll give him across the 45, down to the 44, to be a gain of 6 on the opening carry.
Hard to see who made the tackle. A group of Panthers were right there, but a 6-yard pickup. Nice first down move by Triton Central.
Hayden Kermode checks out. Check of the receivers, 2 to the left, 1 to the right. Heboff has the snap go through his hands. He'll retreat, pick it up, and now try to avoid the onslaught and go down for a big loss. Marked back into Triton territory at the 44-yard line.
Well, similar start tonight, just an error. Last week it was on the kickoff and then a fumble on a run. Here we have a bad snap. Sets up Triton on third and long now. Looks like, well, they haven't updated the board yet,
They're
but a third and
16.
Long. Yeah, 16.
Got to get out of the 40-yard line on the other side of the 50. Third down play coming up. Tigers still shifting in. Keaton Kermode back into the game as they come up to the line of scrimmage.
Be careful here.
3 receivers set. Stagger the backs. Heboff goes under center and will pitch it to the left for Richard Knowles III. Able to avoid the first tackle effort, not the second. Brought back to the 40-yard line, and Knightstown showing speed on defense and another loss for the Tigers.
Yeah, 78 tackles for loss coming in. We see why right there. Burchett on the tackle behind the line of scrimmage, forcing an early Triton Central punt here.
Mitch Kleeman will punt. He'll handle the bulk of the kicking duties tonight for Triton Central. Number 15, Jose Olivo, back to receive. No pressure on the punter. Kleeman gets it away and angles it toward the sideline. It'll bounce well inside the hash mark near the numbers at about the 28 and then go out of bounds at the 24-yard line, and that's where Knightstown will get its first offensive opportunity.
The start Knightstown needed and was looking for, I'm sure, a 3-and-out for Triton Central and a chance for Knightstown here to set the early tone.
Olivo, 1,866 yards passing, completing 71% of his passes, and he's rushed for right around 1,200 yards. Man in motion, the handoff, and a run to the right side for Nick Walsh. And Walsh was wrestled down
Got a leg pin behind him. No injury there. He's okay, pops up, but he does lose a couple.
Yeah, Luke Hornig all over that one. Didn't let him get the edge. And no game, no loss on that one for Knightstown.
Second down. They'll mark it just inside the 24, so maybe a loss of a couple of feet, nothing more. Let's call it second down and 10. Three receivers split left, one to the right. Rolling left is Olivo, looking downfield, stops, comes back, tries to settle down in the pocket, being chased, makes something out of nothing, and throws. And a diving attempt by Triton Central. They thought, Borenstein did, that maybe he had picked it off. Not able to sell it to the official. It's incomplete.
Borenstein really thought he had that one. I couldn't tell. My first reaction was it skipped into his hands, but
he seems jumped up.
Yeah, he seems pretty emphatic that he did catch that. But, man, look at Max Muncy out here, number 84, a big target. Junior, 6'4", 195 pounds. Kind of reminds me of the tight end that Milan had last
Orange
week.
Schmidt.
Yeah. Big target.
Third down and 10. And even though it was an incomplete pass, we saw Olivo extend a play last time. They'll roll him left this time, and then he stops, looks to the middle of the line, tries to find a niche to push the ball forward, gets a couple, nothing more. It'll bring up fourth and 8.
Yeah, good tackle there by Ashton Billman, number 77.
So Knightstown, as Triton did on its first possession, to punt, and Borenstein will settle back around his 40-yard line.
Good opportunity here for Bo to get one.
Schetzel, the kicker, also the punter. High snap, went up to get it, and just got the punt away. A low one that skims out of bounds at about the 43-yard line. A punt with not much distance, although, again, Schetzel was lucky to get it off in the first place, and the Tigers have even better starting position than they did on the opening kickoff.
Yeah, good pressure by Triton, but really a great effort by Knightstown's punter just to get it off and get it downfield. But Triton now with, again, good starting field position. They were at the 50 last time. They start here at the 43.
How big were the high snaps continuously by Milan last week?
And looking back at some highlights of that game, it started early. We didn't really notice it till in the second half, but that started early for Milan.
First and 10 from the 43, Matt Gould in motion. Triton running in behind him and picking up about 9 on the first down carry.
Promote on that carry. Brought down by Ben Newby, number 65 for Knightstown.
Ben Newby, that's a name you'll hear a lot. 3 sacks, fumble recoveries, 3 fumbles caused, 121 tackles on the season. Matt Gould in the game. Didn't get a chance to call his name and number 1 last week. See if the Tigers find a chance to put the ball in the air to him before it's all said and done. But right now, looking at a second and short. Just inside the 35. Handoff, runoff left side. Plenty of room for the first down and nearly a whole lot more on a run down to the 20-yard line. Kermode. Physicality making a difference on that run.
Yeah, Nick Walsh finally able to bring him down, but Kermode, you'd think throughout the night as we go further into this game, he's going to be harder and harder to bring down as Knightstown's players get more tired, more cold, just with the environment tonight. Kermode's going to hopefully get stronger as the night goes on.
Tigers first down and 10 from the Knightstown 20. Eboff turns, hands it off. Kermode, collision. About a yard behind the line of scrimmage. His momentum will get him back to the 20, but it'll be no gain.
Yeah, he was met right after he got the ball by Liam Orcutt. We mentioned his name. He has 14 sacks on the season, 18 tackles for loss. Only a sophomore, promising young player for Knightstown.
6 of those sacks came in an assault on Cambridge City that their quarterback barely survived. 12 sacks in that game by Knightstown. Gould in motion left to right. Backs are staggered. The pitch for Kermode. Running behind Hayden Kermode. Caught from behind. Able for a moment to shed that tackle. Looks like he'll be just shy of the 15-yard line. It'll bring up a third down.
Looks like Landon Carmichael on the tackle there for Knightstown.
Triton Central, they win this game, they know they're home next week. It won't matter whether it's Cecina, the favored team, or Heritage Christian. Tigers are at home if they play in the sectional championship round.
And that's important. It really is.
Third down and six, just outside the 15. Tigers in the red zone. Receiver left, receiver right, staggered backs. Eboff from under center. We'll hand it off to Keaton Kermode in Knightstown. Much better the last three plays, stacking things up. They get a collision at the line of scrimmage. Kermode falls forward and gains two.
But it will bring up fourth down. Like you said, good job by Knightstown's front there. And it's going to take a group of Knightstown to bring Kermode down, and that's what happened there.
Ball at the 14, Triton offense on the field, fourth and four. Kermode the deep back. Hayden Kermode, the blocking back, set off to the left. Rolling left is Eboff. He'll throw on fourth down, complete the pass. Hayden Kermode the catch, battling for room on that left sideline and does not get in the end zone, but he does have a first down.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to put him out at the six-yard line. So nice job by Eboff rolling to his left and able to throw a strike to Kermode for a first down.
So the Tigers with a first down and goal, trying for the first points of the evening. We're scoreless as we near the five-minute mark.
I would think a strong dose of number two coming at Knightstown right here.
Kermode the D-back, two receivers set to the right, Borenstein and Gould in the slot. Eboff gives to Keaton Kermode, works for some room on that right side, and maybe a yard. Looks like they'll put him on the three.
Sam Thomas, sophomore defensive lineman, brings him down, number 70.
Triton Central with a drive that started at the 43 after a very short punt. Short in part because the Tigers got pressure on Schetzel as he got it away. Now looking at second and goal from the three.
That's where I'd like to see him use Luke Hornig from that tight end position.
Eboff under center. Long snap count, gives to Keaton Kermode, hopped around one would-be tackler, and down at about the one, it'll be third and goal. Unofficially, seven carries, 32 yards for Keaton Kermode here in the early going. And the Tigers shift out some personnel. Third down and goal near the one-yard line. Horning is in there at a tight end, and it's really the big package for Triton Central. No receivers in the set. Kermode the deep back. Backs are in the eye. Eboff a look over his left shoulder. Now takes the snap, runs it in himself.
We're going to get a Knightstown timeout before the snap.
Timeout before the snap. I think Eboff was in.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter as Knightstown gets a timeout. High school football, Giant FM Sports, being brought to you by Larkey Insurance, proudly representing Auto Owners Insurance. Todd and Craig Larkey, your winning combination for all of Shelby County. Tonight's game also brought to you by Major Health Partners. Experience the major difference. First Bank Shelbyville, doing great things together. And by Shelby Materials, your concrete and aggregate specialists.